really ought to give him some praise. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. My, my, my. Lord, we thank you tonight for this preaching privilege. We stand in your strength, at your mercy, because of your grace. I pray, Lord, you speak to our heart, mind, and soul. Use me in spite of me. Save souls tonight. Change lives tonight. Let me speak a word, Father, that gives you the glory and the honor. None of me, Lord, but all of you. Let me say something that strengthens a believer's life and encourages a sinner to make this decision to follow you and invite you in their heart to be Lord. I pray, Father, that you get all glory tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance. And the people of God said, amen. Come on, one more time. If you love the Lord, clap your hands. I am certainly grateful to God tonight for another chance. Another chance that God has allowed us to be present. He is an amazing God. Amen. I was going to sing a song, but ain't no need to sing a song now. Didn't this choir, this young lady sing? Amen. God bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you for letting the Lord use you tonight. Amen. I am certainly grateful to be present. I thank God we're only here because of the grace of God. I thank God for my lovely wife sharing with us tonight. Amen. Yeah, y'all help me out. Come. That'll pay off for me after a while. Amen. I thank God for these great preachers. Amen. I'm going to try. Let's see. Elder Pastor Powell, they told me, is this your name? You didn't think I knew your name. You finna tell me your name, didn't you? Powell, that's right. And Pastor Jones, amen. And Pastor Baggett, amen. Pastor Hayes, Pastor Durham, and preacher, you weren't here last night. What's your name? Evans from Lebanon. Amen. Thank God. And this preacher here, moderator Williams. I've been knowing this moderator for 20-some years. I told him when he came in, I said, well, now I'm nervous, man. Why you got to come here tonight? Amen. But we certainly thank God for all of his blessings. God is so amazing. Amen. And those of you who are out in the parking lot ministry checking lights on cars, let me thank you. I thank you so much that I don't have to get a jump off. I appreciate that. And if I don't preach well tonight, just pray for me. Pastor Hayes had us and really overfed us today. And so we hanging in there. We are hanging in there tonight. I do have a word that I want to give you, and it is in the book of Mark chapter 14. The book of Mark chapter 14 tonight. And if you turn there, Mark chapter 14. And I can't say enough how hospitable these preachers are. Man, Pastor Durham and his wife were great last night and taking care of us, and Pastor Hayes today, and earlier the day yesterday. It's just been a blessing. This is a wonderful opportunity that I have been privileged to have, and I just thank you so much. And not to mention, this is one of the most beautiful parts of God's creation, isn't it? Amen. Y'all are blessed to live here. Y'all are, do you realize how blessed you are? You're blessed. Some folk live in big, dusty, smoggy cities. Y'all are blessed. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 14 and verse 32. I'm going to read several of these verses, and I won't be long, so don't let the amount of verses I read frighten you. I'm going to read verse 32. If you read along with me silently. And here it is, verse 32, and this is what it says. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he take with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter to temptation. Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Let's keep going. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. From their eyes were heavy. Neither wist thou what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on. Take your rest. You heard it at a funeral, right? Okay, all right. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Come on, guys. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Father, bless the word as it comes into our heart. I pray the Holy Spirit is the escort and that it takes root and that it brings forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Just for a concept of knowing where we're going, I'd like to use for a subject for reference pushing through the pain. Pushing through the pain. I think all of us have become at some point in our life familiar with pain. Pain, whether it be physical pain or emotional pain. It's pain. It hurts. One of the challenges of dealing with pain is when you have to perform under pain or through pain. One thing to be in pain and no one is depending on you, but it's another thing to be in pain and others are depending on you. How many of you played sports? Can I see your hand growing up? Right, right. Team sports are interesting because if you are the best person for the position on the team and you have a minor injury that doesn't impede your ability but causes you discomfort to perform, you still have to perform. You've got to press through the cramps or the minor sprain. You cannot let discomfort stop you because there are other people depending on you to get the job done. How many of y'all have worked in the church or work in the church? Good. You may not experience physical pain unless you're in a Baptist church. But all of us deal with emotional pain. We say things, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I wouldn't tell you that's a lie. Because I've cried over some words before. I've gone in depression over words before. I've been mad and wanted to hurt somebody over words before. Words do hurt. But how many of you ever have had to work through the pain of someone's insensitive words concerning your person? And you have to press through it. You have to come to church angry sometimes with a smile on your face. Somebody ought to talk to me. Because that's pressing through the pain. That's overcoming the flesh. That's getting to the place where you no longer allow your emotions or your physical discomfort to distract you from your God-given destiny. You have to press through the pain. In our text tonight, we have a wonderful illustration. The text gives us a few movements, gives us about five. I may not give you all five, but I'll give you as many as I can based on a reasonable amount of time. The first one that I want to give you is verse 32. We talk about the place of pressing, the place of pressing. The place of pressing. If you're taking notes, write that down. That's point number one. The place of pressing. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus has come to the climax of his earthly ministry. He's about to leave. He's about to go to heaven. He's about to be gone. He'll no longer be physically on the earth in the way they knew him. He was about to go, and the Holy Spirit was about to come and indwell the believer. And so he was going through the process. And he was at the very end, and the climax of his earthly ministry was to fulfill the propitiation assignment, the atonement assignment, which meant he had to die, take on the curse or the punishment for sin, although he never sinned. And he had to do that you and I would live in the blessing of victory, because our sins would be atoned for, paid for, covered, washed away, that no longer be held against us because he took all of them away. And to qualify for this spiritual exemption of sin, we have to accept him as our personal Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so he had to finish this. He had to complete it. And when he would complete that assignment, he would look to God and say, "It is finished." But this was right before the assignment's completion. We get a unique opportunity to see a side of Jesus that he rarely showed. He rarely showed his human brokenness. Once he cried. First scripture I ever memorized, Jesus wept. And I'm not going to get into theology as to why he wept, but he showed some emotional weakness from his flesh nature. But in this text, he looks just like me. I see a side of Jesus that if you would not have told me it was in the Bible, I would have never believed you. I see a side of Jesus that encourages me every day. Let me help you out. First of all, in the place of pressing, where are we? He says, and they came to a place named Gethsemane. In the Aramaic Greek, Gethsemane means a place for crushing. It was an oil, an olive oil press. They would take the olives and crush them and get the oil. Please understand that oil is symbolic to ordination, assignment, destiny. Every time a king was ordained, they put olive oil over his head. Every time a priest was consecrated, they put oil over his head. It was an assignment. It was destiny. It was ordination. He comes to a place of ordination, assignment, and destiny. But it's unique because you cannot get oil unless the olive has been crushed. And I want to submit to you that the very place of Gethsemane suggests that before you can walk in your ordination, assignment, and destiny, there has to be some crushing of the outside of your flesh. Somebody ought to talk to me. God cannot use you until he crushes you, because the power of the anointing is in the power of your crushing. And the more broken you are, the more God can use you. You've been wondering why you're going through all the stuff you're going through, because God has been getting you ready for the assignment that's upon your life, and it took some breaking to get you prepared. Here he is in our text. He's in a place of brokenness. Now the crushing here, I thought about food. When you eat food, it goes in your system and your body breaks it down. The food does not benefit you. It only satisfies you before it is broken down. It satisfies your hunger, but it benefits you when it is broken down into its nutrients as it begins to go through your system, through your intestines, and you begin to get the vitamins and the minerals and the various nutrients that your system needs to survive. But you only get it when your system breaks the food down. The value is in the brokenness. The scripture tells us that God loves, enjoys a broken and a contrite spirit. The word contrition in the Hebrew comes from the word crushing, like a fine powder. How many of y'all ever taken a BC before? Yeah, BC. I know y'all deep and religious in here, but a BC is a pain. It's like a aspirin. It's crushed up. I know y'all just believe in healing, but I take BC sometimes. Bless his name. And it's all crushed up. And when it's crushed up, it's in its finest powder form. And that's what God wants to do with our flesh. Crush it. When he crushes it, he can use it. I kept looking at this text here. And olive oil not only represents that, but olive oil represents the anointing of empowerment. Isaiah 10:27. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Burdens removed, yoke destroyed. The anointing is burden removing, yoke destroying power. You know, once somebody can sing, and we clap our hands, but somebody else can sing, y'all ain't talking to me. And we get to forgetting about the problems we showed up with in church. There's a difference in the singing and the singing. The singing sounded good, but the singing had the power of the Holy Ghost that destroyed yokes and removed burdens. Somebody ought to talk to me. You know that story about the preacher over the 23rd Psalm, how young boy stood and with fine oratorical abilities, he spoke the 23rd Psalm, and the old preacher got up with his southern country drawl and got through. But when he finished, when he got down there by Shirley, he hit Shirley about four times, and everybody got to running and jumping and swinging on chandeliers and doing flips over chairs. And they said, and the young preacher went to him and said, how did you do that? He said, that's easy. See, you know the 23rd Psalm, but I know the shepherd in the song. God is just getting you to know him. And the more you know him, the brokenness of your flesh is removed, and he becomes bigger in your life, and you move from ability to anointing. At the place of pressing, there's a breakdown. Can you say that? Say breakdown. But not only is there a breakdown, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. Not only is there a breakdown, but there's a breakaway. Because for you to fully walk into your assignment, some folks who showed up with you, you got to leave them where you left them. Because they're not prepared to go with you to the next level. You don't believe me? Come here, Abraham. What you got to say? Well, yeah. In Genesis chapter 22, when God told me to take Isaac, my only boy, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, I had to leave the men who traveled with me down with the asses, is what the King James Version said. Some folk can't make that journey with you. Some folks can't climb that mountain with you because God wants to meet you by himself. I mean, look around you now. There's a song that says, many started out with me. They ain't here no more. But I'm still holding on. I wonder who I'm talking. Is there anybody else that knows what I'm talking about? That we started out in New Disciples class together, but I wanted more than what they wanted, and I pressed a little bit harder. They didn't want to come on Wednesday night. They didn't want to get the early morning service on Sunday, but I wanted more, so I had to leave them where they were, but I didn't criticize them. I just kept pursuing a greater relationship with God myself. At the place of pressing, there was a breakdown. There was a breakaway, but then Judas, who walked with us, he hung in there with us, but we don't see him going with us to the cross. In fact, he helped send us to the cross. So not only is there a breakdown and a breaking away, there's also some breakups. Y'all ain't talking to me. There's some Judases in your life you need to get rid of. And you need to tell Judas, whatever you're going to do, go now and do it thou quickly, because we can't hang no more. Y'all ain't praying with me. You. I'm telling you, young lady, that fellow you've been hanging around with, if he won't praise and pray with you, he don't need to do anything else with you. He don't deserve a movie date. Somebody ought to talk to me. Somebody will talk to me. If it can't praise God with me, I don't need it. Look, oh, come on, talk to me, somebody here. It's time to break up with stuff that's stopping you from getting to your destiny. Place of pressing. But then verses 33 and 34, there's not only a place of pressing, but there's a place of partnership. Look at the text. He taketh with him Peter and James. And who else? John. Now, he's got some guys he's picked out. Now, the unique thing about this is everyone needs an inner circle of prayer warriors. Everybody does. Peter had already been briefed and had been corrected on Jesus' assignment. That's how he made it to the club. Mark 8 and 33, Jesus was like, I got to go, y'all. I'm getting ready to leave you. And Peter said, you ain't, no, you can't. And then Jesus had to rebuke him and say, Satan, get thee behind me. And then Jesus had to straighten him and let him understand, look, Peter, I appreciate your zealousness, but listen, man, I can't let your zealousness hinder my destiny. Sometimes there are people that are around us who think they're helping us, but they're really hurting us. Let me help you out. Your mama might be hurting you. Your mama may be hurting you. That's right. I'm talking about your mama tonight. Because every time you get in trouble, she go down there and put her house up and put her car up and get you out. She ought to leave your butt in jail because she's messing with your destiny. If you stay there long enough, you won't go back no more. She means well, but she messed with your destiny. I wish somebody pray with me. Jesus had to correct him because he said, Peter, before you get with me, I want to make sure you understand. So when I'm in place to get to the place of my assignment, I need to understand that at first there is assessment, and after assessment, I'm prepared for my assignment. There's a testing before I can get a testimony.
I kept looking at this here, and I noticed how God works. He first gives us a test, a task, and then a testimony. You have to understand that there is no assignment in the kingdom that comes void of trouble and pain. If you are a mother in here, it is painful raising children. If you are a father in here, it is painful raising children. And that's a God assignment, that's a kingdom assignment, to be a mother and a father. And it's painful, but you have to press through the pain. Some of y'all have jobs and you don't like that job every day. Some of y'all don't like it no day. But you know there are other people depending on you back at the house. And you know you have to get up every morning or get up late at night for that graveyard shift and press your way to that job and work and pray yourself from the beginning of hitting that clock to the end for strength to get out of there. If you could quit, you would. But you know God has assigned you to work this, because if you don't, you can't take care of that family. Life is not easy, but you got to learn how to press through the pain. I looked at this thing here, and I'm getting out of here in a minute here, and the text goes on. He says, and they were so amazed. Jesus was so amazed, very heavy. Verse 33, and then verse 34, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. I'm in emotional pain. I'm in physical pain. He says, I'm hurting. I'm going through. Don't really know what happens. I know me and Dad talked about going down there and redeeming man. But I don't know if my flesh was prepared. And I look at Jesus and I am blown away at verses 35 and 36. We've gone from the place of pressing the partnership to now the place of prayer. Look what he says. He says, Daddy, Aramaic, Father, he says, all things are possible unto thee. In other words, you can just shut this whole program down. You can snap your finger, and everybody that don't love you on the planet will die. Or you could call the clouds together and cause a deluge again and drown everybody. You can do it. You're able to do anything. And I often think sometimes when I'm going through trouble, I'm like, God, you can do anything. So why won't you? Come on, be honest with me. Don't you ever ask him, like, really, seriously? You know that joker ain't right. Why don't you strike him down? Right in the middle of his hymn. Hey, chop. I mean, like, what? Come on. Y'all ain't praying with me. Maybe I'm telling too much. Y'all ain't praying with me. I'm like, serious. Like, why you won't do it? And then I get cold reality. God tells me, he says, you know what, Kendrick, guess what? I say, what, Lord? He said, I love your enemies just as much as I love you. I said, I'm going to need you to repeat that again. I didn't quite really know if I understood that. God loves your enemies just as much as he loves you. And so I'm looking at this here, and I'm like, okay, how do we work this? I'm looking at Jesus. Jesus says here, he says, take this cup from me. He says, do you understand what this is saying? Jesus is Jesus. Jesus. Not the priest. Jesus. Jesus, he already knew the plan, man. He knew the prophecy that God said, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. In Genesis, the first man said, he knew it. He knew all throughout the lineage, it was said that he was coming. Isaiah said he'd be like a lamb to the slaughter. He knew it. And Jesus has the gall to say, Daddy, can we change the plan? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jesus. When I read this and I really understood it, I said, well, in his flesh he said this. I said, wow. I said, so he went through bad. So he must understand what I'm going through. Now I thought about Hebrews that we don't have a priest that has not been touched by our infirmities and our feelings of pain. He knows. He knows that pain you feel right now, Dad, that pain you feel, Mom, husband, wife, whatever, that pain, that frustration, he's been there. But then what did he do? He said, take away this cup from me. Cup, this bitter cup, this cup. I'm on my way to the ignominious cross, but this bitter cup, this cup of poison, can you take it away? I don't want to drink this poisonous death. But then he says, somewhere in between the colon, he got a little strength. And he says, nevertheless, it's not what I want. It's what you want. Now, it take a lot of faith to accept that. Because I want God to do some things right now. And he won't do it. And I got to accept the fact that he will not do it. And I have to accept the fact and surrender and submit to the garden of Gethsemane of brokenness and be crushed to my flesh and say, but it's okay. Because nevertheless, no matter what you do, I will give you never the less of what I owe you. And all God wants from you is brokenness and surrender and a broken, contrite heart that says, God, here I am. I'm hurting, but I'm still going up there Sunday morning. I'm wounded, but I'm still coming Wednesday night. I'm tired. I'm sick of them, but I'll be in choir rehearsal Tuesday night. I'm going anyway. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, so when you get out of the car and Sister Cucumber looking at you crazy, you got to have a nevertheless praise. When she looking at you, just say nevertheless. Nevertheless, glory to God. When it's your time to sing and the piano player gets to playing and you got the mic and you look over and she looking at you right here. Nevertheless, Jesus, nevertheless, nevertheless. When you feel like just tearing off into somebody and tearing off everything they have on, just say, nevertheless. Just nevertheless, nevertheless. I don't know why you won't move this, but you know what? God, you got a weird way of doing things, but I'll accept it. I mean, think about it. He let Judas stay in the church till he died. How many of y'all would have voted Judas out? I'd have put Judas out real quick. It'd have been me or Judas. But he let Judas keep the money. Because the Father's will is greater than what we can see. Jesus was demonstrating. He was saying, nevertheless. He said, nevertheless. He said, whatever thy will is, I surrender. Whatever you want me to do. He said, Lord, I'll do it. He said, I am broken. And then he goes and he checks on them boys. After he done had this intense emotional prayer time with God, he goes to check on his prayer partners because they are fasting and praying and believing God for him. Pastor, it's your members, your supporters. They that have been praying for you.
they've been believing God and just encouraging you, and you and you go and he shows up and he's looking, he's expecting to see Peter going, thank you, John, glory. He shows up and them boys are fast asleep. Sleep. I'm finna go to the cross. And y'all sleeping. They sleep. He says, Simon, are you asleep? Sleepest thou? Couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour, man? Man, you were supposed to be standing guard, watching over me while I'm ministering to God. And you sleep. He said, watch ye and pray. He said, now let me tell you something for your own good. You need to watch and pray lest you yourself fall into trouble, trials, temptation. He said, listen, I get it. The spirit is ready, but your flesh is weak. Now, watch and pray. I'll be back. Again, he went away and prayed. Verse 39, and spake these words. And when he turned, he found them sleep again. For their eyes were heavy like some of y'all eyes. They were heavy. Neither wist thou what answer him. They were so sleepy, they couldn't even talk to him. And he cometh the third time and said, all right, I know one thing. Jesus says, I can't force you to do anything. He said, matter of fact, I won't force you. And he still won't do it. He says, but I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. You just go on, sleep on, do you, be you, take your rest. It's enough. The hours come. In other words, you sleeping will not stop the assignment. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Right? Let's get up, boys. Come on, get up. Lo, he that, but Judas is already here. Let's go. Now, Jesus had to break his will and talk. That's a lonely place, that hour. His father gave him an assignment that was tearing him up emotionally. His friends were ignoring and neglecting their relationship with him. But yet through all of that, he still pressed his way through the pain. He pressed his way. That's the moment that he felt like maybe even his daddy had left him. What do you do when everybody around you is gone? You by yourself. I tell you what you got to do. You got to keep on pressing. You got to keep on going the last mile of the way. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I'm glad that God sent his son Jesus on this assignment. Yeah, because if the Lord had never accepted this assignment, yeah, you and I would be in a mess. Yeah, we'd be in a terrible situation. Because you and I need to have God in our lives. Can I get a witness? I'm glad that he came down and he went on to the cross. Can't you see Judas coming in and saying, the one who I go and kiss, he is your man, oh Lord. And they came and kissed Jesus, and the men arrested
lifted him and took him to a kangaroo court. Yeah. And when they got him in a kangaroo court, they turned around and beat him into physical anguish. But I want you to understand, he never gave in. He never said a mumbling word. He pressed on through the pain. And that's what you and I got to learn to do. We've got to learn to press through the pain. When they talk about you, you got to press on through the pain. When they line on you, you got to press on through the pain. When your body feels achy, you got to press on through the pain. Is anybody here know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had to press through the pain? I'm mighty grateful tonight that when you go in through, God will give you strength to stand the test. He'll give you strength to stand the storm. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he give you power to face your enemy? Won't he give you power to face your trials? I'm a witness tonight. He walks with me. He talks with me. He lets me know that I am his own. Joy. Won't he give you joy when you ought to be crying? Won't he give you joy when you ought to be sad? Won't he give you joy when you ought to throw in the towel? Yeah. Yes, he will. Can't you see him marching up Golgotha's hill? Can't you see him up on that hill? The crowds are mocking him, but it didn't stop him. He kept on, crown of thorns on his head, but he kept on. Yeah, his back was whipped and tore up, but he kept on pressing. Yeah, his body was dehydrated, but he kept on pressing. Tears were in his eyes, but he kept on pressing and never said a mumbling word. Can I get a witness in here? Oh, what did he do? He got up on that cross, and that's where they messed up. That's where they made an error, because he said, if I be lifted up, I draw men unto me. Lift him up, lift the Savior up. Yeah. And on that cross, he bowed his head. What did he do? He died. Anybody know he died? He died from the 6th to the 9th hour. He died. But the good news is, he didn't stay dead. What did he do? He got up. Look at somebody tonight. Say, he got up. Yes, he did. What did he have? All power. He had all power. to raise the dead, power to plant open blind eyes, power to save my soul. Is there anybody here? Have you been born again? If you've been born again, shout, I'm saved. Yes, I am. Is there anybody here? Go press your way through. Press. Press your way through. Press. Press your way through. Will you do me one favor? I won't hold you long, and I'm almost out of here. But look at your neighbor, friend. Put your arm around their shoulder and squeeze them real tight and say, neighbor, I want you to know what a miracle feels like. Is there anybody here? Should have been dead and gone, sleeping in your grave, but some way, somehow, he brought you out. Yeah, I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle. I'm a testimony. He delivered me. He brought me through. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, he did.
I'm out of here. But he did it, he did it. He did it, he did it, he did it. I can't take credit for it. He did it. I said he did it. So I'll just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll just say thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God, he's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. More than this world could ever be. He's been so good to me. Hey, he tried tears away, turn my dark clouds in the day. So instead of complaining, I lift my hands and say thank you, Lord. Crying sometimes, thank you, Lord. Wounded sometimes, thank you, Lord. I won't complain, yeah.
Did not our hearts burn?
Of God by his mercy that he brought us out. And Jesus, in this lesson, he teaches us to press through the pain. We have to dig down deep inside of us sometime and just dig deep. Even when it hurts, we just have to continue to dig deep. When people talk about us, we have to dig deep. When deep around us. We have to dig deep and continue to press through the pain. There may be somebody here tonight that has been on your mind all week. As we stand all over the place, you don't know, you couldn't make a decision. You was wrestling with the devil. Every corner you turn, you got a no answer. When you were looking for a yes, but you had to continue to press. When you went home, things wasn't right. It just wouldn't get right no matter what you tried to do. It just wouldn't get right. But you remember that you had God inside of you and you continue to press. Somebody's child is going through something right now and hey, mama and daddy is really burning down by the situation. But you have to dig deep and continue to press through the pain. So if that woman and if that man and that boy or girl is here tonight, and if you want to come right now and accept God as your personal Savior, this is a time where you can come here right now. We got all these preachers, all these deacons, all these Christian-hearted people who is here. We are all here to wrap our arms around you right now. If you'll just come. Don't give no thought about the person next to you, what they're going to say, or the person on the other side of the room, how they're going to look at you. You come and save your life. Make your life up with God. Build your personal relationship with God tonight. Will you come? You can just continue to press through, and God will make a way for you. I promise you, He will. The person next to you can be a living testimony. You just don't know their story. But you have your own story. And if you'll come tonight and give your life over to the Lord. There's a lot of things I don't promise you now, but I promise you this. If you give your life over to Jesus, oh, He'll work it out for you. The Bible tells me eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, nor have it entered into the hearts of man the blessing that God has in store for you if you come. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Pressing through the pain. Amen. Amen.
Y'all help them say. Everybody come on.
That's not how. That's not how the story ends. Later he rose again. That's love.
Do y'all know that kind of love? No greater love than this have no man than lay down his life for his friend.
That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. That's love.
That's love. Would you buy?